This is Betty with Betty's Fair Trade Coffee Break on WCRS 98.3, 102.1 LPFM, Columbus. This is your community radio station. Fair Trade Coffee Break. We have an interview with Paul Rice, the Transfer USA CEO and director, and he is talking about what it means to be Fair Trade certified.
Welcome to Money Matters. I'm Jackie Hyland in New York. From flowers to fruit to cotton, many of our favorite products come from abroad. But how do we ensure that they are being manufactured and farmed under fair and humane working conditions? Well, that's where Transfer USA comes in. And today we're joined by the company's president and CEO, Paul Rice. He's been an instrumental figure in ensuring fair trade around the world. Hi, Paul. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Jackie. It's a pleasure to be here.
So your company helps certify fair trade products. What does this mean and how does it work?
Well, fair trade is a rigorous standard for social responsibility and environmental sustainability. It covers everything from farm labor practices and the price that goes to farmers to how those farmers grow their products and the sustainability of the environment. And when companies here in the United States pay fair trade prices and meet those other fair trade criteria, they're allowed to use the fair trade certified label on their products. That means that they have been audited and certified, and that we have verified that those practices have been met.
So when you buy a product then that is fair trade certified, what does that ensure you as the customer?
Well, first and foremost, it means that those farmers, the coffee farmers that are growing the coffee you drink, banana farmers, rice, sugar farmers around the world, they're getting a fair price. They're getting a price that allows them to cover the cost of production and to produce in a more sustainable way. It allows them to provide benefits for their families and to stay in business. And furthermore, it allows them to invest in the quality of the product so that you and I can enjoy extremely high quality products that also make us feel good because we know those farmers are benefiting.
Right. Tell us a little bit more about these farmers. This is a good thing for them, right?
Indeed. Yeah. We work now with about 10 million farmers in 60 different countries all over the world, in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. And these are farmers that typically are very, very small, maybe 2 or 3 acres of land. So they're struggling to put food on the table and to make a living. And what we do is help connect them directly with major brands and retailers here in the United States. And through that direct trade, the farmers are able to make often 2 or 3 times more for their harvest than they otherwise would if they were just selling in the local market. One way to think about it is a farmer's market gone global. And it's through that direct trade that farmers are able to get a better price and rise out of poverty. I used to live in Latin America. I worked with farmers there. And I saw how fair trade brought education to villages that before didn't have it, how kids were going on to high school and to college thanks to scholarship funds that their co-ops had set up with fair trade premiums, how clean drinking water was brought into the communities, again, thanks to the extra revenue that fair trade brings. So it's truly transformational in terms of the quality of life and the health of these families and their communities.
Paul, is there ever a fear that paying farmers a fair price could encourage overproduction and create an oversupply problem?
Well, that hasn't happened. Actually, what farmers do when they get a little bit more money is they invest in their kids. They send their kids to school, or they invest in improving their homes. They pave the floor of a dirt floor home, or they bring in running water and electricity for the first time into their communities. We're talking about very, very poor communities that are just starting to enjoy some very basic creature comforts, if you will. So these are not farmers that are reinvesting in buying new farms and expanding production.
Right, and these are small farmers. You said 2 or 3 acres.
That's
here.
Right, yeah.
Now, many of us are pretty familiar with products like chocolate and fruit as being fair trade certified. What other products are certified here in the United States?
Well, coffee is king. Coffee is the number one fair trade product in America and around the world, and you'll see it in about 50,000 retail outlets around the country, including Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and in major supermarkets as well. Besides coffee, we also certify fair trade tea and chocolate, bananas and mangoes, pineapples, other fresh fruits. Earlier this year, we launched fair trade flours, and next month we'll be launching fair trade wine from Argentina and Chile. which helps those grape growers get a better price and improve their living standards as well. So a whole host of products, and we continue to expand that category and certify new products every year.
Fair trade news. We have some talking points on trade and the current financial crisis. This comes to us from the Citizens Trade Campaign on www.citizenstrade.org. There's no time to consider more job-killing trade agreements. We need to focus on creating high-wage jobs that stay in America rather than passing trade agreements that ship our jobs overseas. This financial meltdown is just another example of what happens when a small handful of corporations control an economy. If we continue to let a few multinational corporations write the rules of trade as they have in the past, we can expect to see these same types of problems in the future. As we debate more congressional oversight to prevent future problems, it makes sense to also give Congress a greater role in overseeing trade agreements. If there's one lesson we've learned, it's that we need more accountability. Voting on trade agreements in a lame duck session at the least accountable time when many members are not returning would be a mistake. It sidesteps the results of the election. We need to let citizens vote and then push elected leaders to implement a trade agenda that reflects the views of the majority and serves the majority's interest. As we develop new rules for the economy in 2009, we should turn to policy guidelines like the Trade Act as a roadmap for better government oversight to make sure these same problems don't happen again. Conservative free traders are already using this crisis to demagogue for the passage of more trade deals. NAFTA, CAFTA, and failed trade policies of the past brought out about wage stagnation, manufacturing decline, and job loss. Many of the conservatives who want to use trade agreements to privatize public service and shrink government to the size of a bathtub are now turning the government to bail out the private companies they once worshipped. It's time to put our priorities back in order. Trade and economy exist to serve people, not the other way around. To find more information on what Citizens Trade Campaign is doing to promote fair trade, not free trade, go to www.citizenstrade.org. Fair trade story comes to us from the Mail and Guardian Online, entitled The Cup That Changed the World by Matthew Krause. Jonathan Robinson is a proprietor of Bean There, Johannesburg's only specialist espresso bar offering an exclusive menu of African coffees proudly sporting the International Fair Trade label. Having worked in IT, Robinson took a year off and with his wife traveled through the U.S. and Canada in the early part of the new century. They backpacked through Europe where they met someone from Vancouver Island who had a coffee roasting business. On his return to the country, Robinson worked for the Starfish Great Hearts Foundation, raising funds for kids affected by AIDS. But he stored the business model of dealing in fair trade coffee in the back of his mind, and in 2005, he began roasting, packing, and supplying coffee. Today, Robinson and a company, now the Bean There Coffee Company, supply fair trade coffee from Africa to exclusive game lodges and hotels, corporate headquarters, and restaurants in Botswana and Namibia. Earlier this month, they opened their first espresso bar, and that is where the Mail and Guardian sought to pick Robinson's brain about the nitty-gritty of fair trade coffee. First question, where does the coffee come from and how does it get here? Answer, we source fair trade African coffees. I go to Ethiopia, Tanzania, and Kenya, and we are about to launch our Rwandan coffee. We find communities that produce amazing coffee and develop a direct relationship with them. We only buy the top 2% of coffee available in the world, and we only do African coffees. At this stage, we focus mainly on single-origin coffees, meaning we don't blend our coffee. The reason for this is that we want people to get to know a country through its coffee. The reason we are only doing African coffees is that we believe that for too long, South Africans have been drinking coffees imported from Italy, which have a huge carbon footprint. It is originally sent from Africa, Indonesia, and South America, roasted in Italy, and sent back here. There's a lot of coffee around from South America, and yet on our own doorstep, we have some of the best, if not the best, coffees available in the world. We're on a quest to get South Africans to appreciate and drink African coffee. Second question, what constitutes fair trade coffee? The New York commodities market set the coffee price. Obviously, as with any product, it is subject to supply and demand. Farmers in Ethiopia may be handpicking exceptional coffee, but they get lumped in the same pool as Vietnamese farmers' robust, rubbish machine-picked coffee. What the fair trade movement does is to set a fair price for coffee. It says that no matter what happens to the market, the price you pay for coffee will never be below a certain amount. So you're always guaranteeing the farmer a fair price for his coffee. Having spent time in the NGO world, I firmly believe that trade versus aid is a better option. I sat with one of my Kenyan farmers, Agnes, and she told me that she has two kids. One is going to school and one is not. With my NGO background, my inclination was to reach for my pocket, saying, I'll sort this out and send your second child to school. It's unacceptable. But my fair trade hat said, let me rather pay you for what your coffee is worth. We call ourselves direct fair trade. We believe that, as much as possible, we should get involved in the community rather than just buying fair trade coffee. We want to work out how much of the money we are paying is going to the farmers and how much is being sucked in by middlemen. Third question. Does the fair trade stamp reflect on the conditions of the workers on the farms? Answer. There are aspects of that in terms of the certification process. There's no child labor or anything. If you adhere to those guidelines, you are given your fair trade status. Next question. What's on the menu? Answer. The roastery is here, I guess, for us to showcase our product. People can come to cupping evenings to get to know our coffee. We want to do for coffee what's been done for wine in terms of evaluating it, knowing the different tastes, different aromas, and unique flavors. The photos hung in our shop show the faces of our farmers. It's the adventure element, and there are photos of the processing of the coffee. The bike that hangs on the wall, I bought from one of our Tanzanian farmers. I bought him a new bike and he gave me his own bike. The design combines the old with the new. We have coffee, phenomenal cheesecakes, muffins, chocolate brownies. There is no cooked food. We are trying to keep away from becoming a restaurant. It is essentially an espresso bar. You can have an exceptional cappuccino the way it's meant to be prepared. Our baristas are trained according to the World Barista Championship standards. And we have a handmade German roaster from a company that's been manufacturing them since 1868. Final question, do you like coffee? Answer, I'm mad about coffee. I wouldn't be doing this if I wasn't. I drink 8 to 12 cups a day, probably too much. I try not to finish them, but I have to sample all our batches. We ultimately roast all of our coffees. We look for the perfect point in the roasting process and roast to that level. We don't have a mild, medium, or even a dark roast. To learn more about Bean There, visit www.beantherethere.co.za. On our world music section today, we are hearing from Michael Fronti and Spearhead with the song I've Been Away.
She loved me, loved me. For someone to rescue me, one woman came with a gift for me. Go find yourself and come find me. But I've been away for too long, you see. I ran away from the hurt in me. I've been away for far too long, you see. I ran away till she came for me. But she loved me, loved me, loved me, loved me, loved me all the time. Oh, she loved me, loved me, loved me, loved me, loved me so true. She loved me, loved me, loved me, loved me, loved me all the time. Whoa, I love her so.
Michael Franti and Spearhead with I've Been Away. And next up, we're hearing from Bebel Gibretto with A Ganju.
Me acertou, me acertou.
Gibretto with Aganju on our world section of Betty's Fair Trade Coffee Break. Once again, you're listening to WCRS 98.3, 102.1 LPFM Columbus. This is your community radio station. Did you know there's a peace house in Columbus? Peace House, finding our way home to peace, invites and welcomes people of all religions, spiritual practices, and those without. The purpose is to help individuals rediscover and or deepen their own paths to infinite mystery, called by whatever name each finds meaningful, as they share their paths and journeys with one another. Peace House is a nexus for spiritual and multi-faith learning and sharing. Peace House is not a religion or a church. It's an Ohio nonprofit. And Peace House is the vision of an ordained interfaith minister, Reverend Leslie Del Gigante. Peace House will house activities as numerous and varied as their members come up with, all with the goal of learning and sharing spiritual and religious perspectives. They can explore the spiritual through music, singing, drumming, chanting, group prayer, spoken and silent, exercise and other mindful activities, study of sacred texts, books, and discussions. They'll help support one another to find their way home to inner peace and thus radiate peace to their families, community, nation, and world. There's a monthly holding service that brings together the whole Peace House community every third Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at Global Gallery's new location in Clintonville, 3535 North High Street. Amor, 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 te quiero. And yes, Global Gallery does have a new location located in Clintonville at 3535 North High Street. It is a Global Gallery coffee shop and is having its grand opening this weekend, October 10th, 11th, and 12th. All day, every day this weekend, there will be live music and entertainment all weekend for your enjoyment pleasures. So stop by and check out Global Gallery's brand new Fair Trade coffee shop location. Our other locations are 692 North High Street. We're also located in Easton Town Center Mall, and we're also on Xenia Avenue and Yellow Springs. Thank you again for listening to Betty's Fair Trade Coffee Break. Remember to drink Fair Trade coffee and have a super Fair Trade day.
gitano soy. Que todo que te quería.